So.
Hello, I've been coming.
The Lord is in charge here, not you, Wade. The Lord is in charge here, not you.
Oh, that's correct. That's correct.
So it goes way supposed.
That's right. Now, why I didn't say it was bad, it was good.
It's all good.
It's all good. But let's get into back into the book of Romans, because sometimes we get off course. We need to get back on course. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience always bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is Paul. We are going to revisit this just for a moment. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Talking about what? The Jew. Paul was a Jew. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. You know, Regina asked me a question this morning at the breakfast table. She said, what's my favorite? I guess you might say, no, not chapter, book.
Book.
My favorite book of the Old Testament. I said, well, Isaiah would be number one and Daniel would be number two. Because Isaiah is a complete commentary of the Bible. And Daniel is the book of Revelations to the Jew. So we can see there that Israel, because see, it says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and service of God and the promises. If Israel would have stayed the way God wanted them to stay, stayed the course they're supposed to stay in, they would have been his bride.
Yes.
Even Jesus, when he first came, he said, don't go to the Gentiles, go to my people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right. Why? Because the Old Testament had turned him down. And we're going to read because, now watch, this whole summation today is going to end up right here where Brother Dale's been talking about, because look, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, whoso believeth on him should not be ashamed. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. So instead of him staying here and being the head of Israel, he had to come down here and become the head of the Gentiles. Now Israel is coming in not as children anymore, but they are coming in as servants. That's just the way it is. I mean, he put her away. She can't be his bride anymore. She was married to Israel. If you'll read, I believe even in Isaiah somewhere in there, it says that I was married to thee, Israel.
Yeah.
And you went whoring, and I had to put you away, and Christ can't bring them back. Because you can't have a wife that went out and had problems, and you can't remarry her if she's went out and married somebody else. Because the Bible tells you that. Well, Christ can't break that law either.
Right.
So he can't remarry Israel once he divorced her. He's done with her. But he won't forget her. He said, I'll never forget Israel. So he's not going to forget her. He's not going to forget the ones in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, to me, is our foundation. Because remember, the faith of the fathers... Let me see if I can get this right. The faith of the fathers, remember, they were Jews, and they, every one, were born under the law. The law was in effect until Christ died. Actually, technically, the law was in effect until the day of Pentecost. And then it continued to be in effect to those that didn't believe. That's what the Bible said. And that's what Paul's telling us here. But when the day of Pentecost come, the kingdom come... The baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that brought into the many nations, which Jews were included. So the 120 in the upper room were all Jews, as far as I understand. Yep. They were all Jews. So the Holy Ghost fell on a Jewish dispensation first, or Jewish people, not dispensation. A Jewish people first, that were under an Old Testament dispensation. Because remember, until Christ died, there was a Old Testament. That's why the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not in the New Testament. That's not New Testament.
Exactly.
Man gets it wrong. But see, they just think, well, that's Matthew, then Jesus appears. And, no, he's got to die.
Right.
The testator has to die first. He even said, the testator has to die. Right. He holds up the cup and he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Well, he hadn't shed his blood yet.
Right.
But when he did, that's when the New Testament began. So the book of Acts is truly the first book of the New Testament.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a commentary about a man's life called Jesus Christ, which is the Son of Man.
Right.
But it was still the Old Testament. I was reading, I'm back in the book of Luke again. Because Jesus heals the leper, and then what's the first thing he tells him to do? Go to the priest and do the law. What? Moses commanded them that if a leper was healed, they had to come to the priest. The priest had to check them out. The priest was basically the doctor during that time. He had to look at the sores and the boils and all the things. Reading on the Old Testament, it tells you he was pretty much the doctor of the whole place. But he had to go show himself and do a sacrifice.
Right.
Because Jesus told him, go do what Moses said. Well, what did Moses say? Moses was the law. Okay? Right. And then the Bible says the law having a shadow of things to come. Well, we may get in that. We may do Hebrews next. We may do Romans and do Hebrews, but I enjoy those two books. But Paul's telling us, who are Israelites according to the flesh, my kinsmen. So Paul's saying, all right, this is my kin. This is the Jews. This is my kin folks. All right? Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Why Christ had to come in the flesh. In the Old Testament, Christ wasn't in the flesh. Oh yeah, he appeared in Melchizedek, but he didn't. He wasn't Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right. The person in the flesh that was born in a womb. Everybody got that? He was Christ. But he wasn't the Christ that we're talking about, that Paul's talking about. You got to separate the two. Melchizedek was not somebody to die for you, the captain of the host, all those. That was just God putting on skin, speaking to man, and then stepping back out again. That couldn't hang on the cross because that wasn't our brother.
That's right.
He has to be our brother. We went through Romans 8, heirs and joint heirs. Melchizedek wasn't joint heir. That's why Brother Branham the prophet had to come and say, okay, Melchizedek, we see him no more. Now we see Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay. Because Melchizedek wasn't our Savior, yet the Savior was in there. The Son of God was inside that flesh body. But he wasn't even the Son of Man. The Son of Man had to be somebody born in a womb just like me and you, come forth and die for our sins. And then, so his life could come back inside of you.
Right.
So, his life comes inside of you. See, that's the whole key. Many men could die for many men. Many men in the Old Testament died to save other people's life. But it only saved one man's life.
That's right.
Physically.
That's right.
Didn't save him spiritually.
That's right.
But there's only one man that can die and multiply his life out like he did on the day of Pentecost, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ that had the Son of God inside of him. The Son of God is the one that separated. Remember, we told you that a couple Sundays ago, and even Dad covered it last Sunday. He died Son of Man, he rose Son of God. He had to be the Son of God in the church ages.
Right.
To spread his gospel, to spread the Holy Ghost. And then, as we were talking the other day, he was kicked out of the church during the church ages. And here he is standing at the door. Now, who was it? It was a man. It was the Son of Man was what was kicked out. The Son of God was not. I was thinking about this yesterday. God is so gracious because under that Son of God message, there can be error.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Because fourth church age. Anyway, fourth church age, right here. God baptized people into the body in that church age that were Trinitarian, that had come under a false baptism, that had come under all this eternal hell, all these things. Luther was the same way. But you say, well, what was his deal? His deal was God birthed the just shall live by faith.
Right.
Yes.
But he winked at the ignorance of man and continued on baptizing them with the Holy Ghost, putting them into the body, even though they had error. But remember, they had error, and I'm quoting here, but here Pentecost had error. The 1906 Azusa Street Pentecost were Trinitarians. Only until 1912 would Bishop Haywood read your history, even the history books tell you that.
Right.
That Bishop Haywood come in 1912, which was 6 years after the Holy Ghost fell. So the Holy Ghost didn't fall on a Trinitarian baptism.
Yeah.
It fell on the restoration of the gifts.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
So you have faith for the time or a Holy Ghost for the time. But now you and I have come to this age.
That's right.
Like we talked about Sunday afternoon. I hope you saw that. Because that was, Brother Brown's message was the Son of Man. That was
right.
It. Pentecost brought people out. It got them saved. It got them filled with the Holy Ghost. Even some of the great ones at Walter, Brother Brown, Bosworth, even Smith Wigglesworth right here. If anybody wants to read about his writings, this is a good book to read. Smith Wigglesworth, all of them were Trinitarians, but God winked at the ignorance because they didn't have a message behind it.
Right.
Smith Wigglesworth was a wonderful faith healer. Okay? But it didn't have a message behind it. Brother Branham, even in the 47 to 63, was doing like Zerubbabel. He was sweeping off the foundation and building the building.
Yes.
What is he trying to do? He's trying to build it back up because man had tore it down.
Right.
How did they tear it down? Creeds and dogmas.
Okay.
Same way with Israel. Israel tore it down with washing of the pots. Remember Jesus, yeah. Jesus even told them, said, you shine the tombs and you're the ones who put them in there.
Exactly.
In other words, you're a hypocrite. You're sitting there shining the tomb and washing it and cleaning it up, but you're the one who put them in there.
Right.
So, who are Israelites? Who represent the adoption and the glory, the covenant, giving of law, service of God, and promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. So, in other words, Paul's saying, I've kind of given you a little gloom idea here that the Old Testament was this and God was kind of, you know, pushing. No. For they are not all Israel which are Israel. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Now, that means what I'm thinking is what Paul's saying is, he said, now, I'm not telling you to take the Old Testament scrolls and throw them away and burn them and don't ever read them.
Right.
Same way with us.
Mm-hmm.
We go, man, we that Old Testament, you know, there's a lot of revelation in the Old Testament.
Yes, right.
But it's food for us, revelation, right? I don't think Abraham lived his life on this earth realizing that one day, 4,000 years later, there'd be a group of people sitting in here realizing we had to go the same way Abraham just got up and walked. He didn't have somebody to tell him what to do. God told him what to do.
Right.
So he just got up and walked and did his thing, and you know, and sure, there was times he went to Egypt. There's a lot of times we go to Egypt. Egypt being the world, a lot of times we travel. You know, he had to go to Egypt, and he come out of Egypt, went into Gerar, and then he went this and he went that one. He journeyed. But I don't think he just sat there and said, "Well, I think about 2018, there's going to be a group of people talking about me." No, he probably passed on and probably figured that God did promise. He gave him Isaac, so I'm, you know, that's my promise with Isaac. Was my promised son. So, because you know what? You take your kid up, your only kid up to the mountain, and you're getting ready to kill him, and we think, oh, that was just an act. Well, the Bible says the angel caught his hand because
right.
It was coming down.
Yeah.
Brother Brown said he would have killed that child
right.
If it hadn't have been for that. But see, God knew that.
Yeah.
Being the loyalty of a father, though,
yeah.
He was going to do it, and the angel stopped him because of why? Isaac was his promised seed. Well, he can't kill his promised seed and, you know, and have any progeny or generation. Because that Isaac is dead and gone, laying in the grave. His body, I mean, his soul is in another dimension. The true seed of Abraham hung on the cross and came back and had other children called me and you. Because remember, it's not seeds as of many,
right.
But one seed, which is Christ. And that one seed is in a multiple form today. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. No, wait a minute. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. I was telling you last Sunday. When we look at all these things that are going on. Me and Brother Jewel were talking about last week. When you look at all these things that's going on. And people say, well, you know, the bride's falling apart. No, 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 no. The bride never fell apart.
That's right.
Bride's never been in better shape. Never been in better shape than right now.
Right.
It's just what you're looking at, not all Israel. That's Israel.
Right.
Because I'll promise you, if you come to this message, alright, I'm going to make this strong. If you come to this message, and like somehow 30, 40 years walking this message, and you reject this message, that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Because you've blasphemed the word that's been brought to you for that day. The day and hour that you're living in, I don't care who you are or what you say you are, you cannot take this truth and reject it. Now, you can surely say, I don't understand it. Now, that's okay.
Right.
Because there's still a lot of things I don't understand.
That's right.
But you can't just walk up and say, well, everything the prophet said was wrong. He was wrong. All this was wrong. And he was wrong. And all we got to do is get back to the Bible. Well, I believe what he brought was the Bible, and we couldn't understand it.
Exactly.
Without him bringing it to us.
Right.
So there you go. I don't care whether Brother Ram, I literally don't care whether Brother Ram was out there when he said he was. I don't care if he was on the mountain, down in the valley, somebody's back porch, it doesn't bother me. That's he brought right. me the Word of God and he brought That's me revelation. Right. I really don't care. All these other things are superficial. It's human being, it's human thoughts, it's human ideas. Whether he kills a brown bear, I don't care.
That's right.
I don't.
Right.
People get muddled up with that and they go, he's coming back. Well, that's a bunch of lazy people thinks he's coming back. You have to preach us something to get us in a rapture, because he said rapture and faith lies in the books and tapes.
They don't know about
Lula.
They don't know the word Lula.
No, they don't. Ma'am.
When you say when someone comes to the message and rejects it, can you define that? And before you do, would it include someone that had been given tapes and books?
And then they not exactly. I'm saying you've sat and been taught for even a year.
Yeah.
Or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you reject what you've heard and say that's not true. Now, if you say I don't understand it and you walk away, you got a chance.
Yeah, right.
But to do like they're doing, they're saying this is false.
Yeah.
And we're moving over to here. Well, my, how in the world can you get, how can you know what we know and now go to a Baptist church or to a Methodist church or
yeah.
And a lot of them are going out completely out in the world. You see them pictures on Facebook sitting in a bar with a beer in their hand, so, and they used to preach this gospel.
Right.
Okay, that's blaspheming the Holy One.
Yes.
That's just my, it's not my opinion, it's what the Bible says.
Yes.
You can't walk in this truth and then turn it away.
No, that's not.
Now, it's not for everybody.
No.
Amen, it's not.
That's right.
Give somebody a book or a tape and they say, look, that's
right.
Okay, but
right.
They're fine.
Right.
And I don't mean they're fine, but I mean they've not turned their day of grace away. But if you walk in this for the length of time that we have, coming to the knowledge of the truth, it's in the Bible. You come to the knowledge of the truth and turn away, there's no more sacrifice. There's not a sacrifice for that.
Right.
Amen? So, because there is an ignorant sacrifice. Well, you way past ignorance when you turn this message down. You way past ignorance. And what it is, it's a demonic thing that's possessed you. Let's talk about that for just a second, because I want to make something clear. Me and Brother Jewel were talking about this. Even when Brother Brown says you can go totally insane, take your own life, and still be a born-again believer.
That's right.
Right. Yes.
Okay? So you got to separate that. You can't just go...
That's right.
You know, you can't do that. Because Baptist Church will tell you, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You commit suicide, if a Baptist commits suicide, everybody's quiet because they know their teaching says this person ain't making it.
That's right.
Okay? But now we know and understand that there's a separation. The point I'm making is, the Brother Ramsey, that Brother Brown talks about, that had the Holy Ghost, believe he did, because Brother Brown called him a child of God.
Right.
He got a spirit on him and he started drinking and doing things of the world. Said, I'm not preaching no more. Now see, he didn't turn it down. He just, something got on him and said, I ain't going to do that no more.
Right.
Now remember what happened. He didn't go on. Years, Brother Brown said 6 months later he was dead. Why? Because God took him home to not mar his name. He wasn't going to let somebody do that. But now you see these people that's turned this message down, though. They're not dying suddenly.
Right.
They're continuing on. Why? They never had nothing to begin with. That's what Man Jewel was talking about. They never had a birth to begin with. Don't care if they could preach like a house on fire on a windy day. They never had a birth. That's the whole thing. They just got an anointing. And that anointed them to preach, like one we were talking about, this brother, and he's never preached in this church, but he preached for Biscoe and Brother Donnie and all the ones like that, young guy. Totally turned the message down, and now he's got him a Pentecostal church down in Florida, and him and his wife were the pastor and co-pastor, and they're just absolutely just exploding the whole place, having a good time. People wonder how that happens. That anointing stayed on that guy.
Right.
He had an anointing, but he used it wrong.
Right.
He turned it down. Oh yeah, but he's big in the Pentecostal realm. Why? Well, let me just say it this way. He's played in the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's played in the truth, so he knows how to do it.
That's right.
And then when he come out from under the truth, he still had that anointing.
Right.
And we're not getting on this verse chapter 9 again either.
But I bet he's preaching this mess.
Might be to a degree, but
that's
mostly
so
it's mostly a rock and roll emotion. lights and, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Feeling.
That's right.
And you'll go to feelings every time, and you should never do that.
That's right.
You should never do that.
That's right.
Like Daddy said, if you want a cold chill, I can put some ice down your back. That don't mean nothing to me. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. See, because not all Israel is Israel. They were walking around. Remember when Jesus was here, they told him, we are the seed of Abraham. He said, if you were the real seed, in other words, he said, if you were the real, Siri, I don't need any help. If you were the real seed of Abraham, you'd know who I was.
Amen.
Yes.
If you were the real seed, which is what? What? What they were looking at was they could open up a page in their little genealogy book,
right?
And they could say, so and so begot so and so, and so and so begot so and so, and so and so, and here I am. I come straight from Abraham.
Okay.
And Jesus said, and even Paul says, endless genealogies. Well, that's what they were doing. They were going, and I'm sure he met up with priests. It was like, what do you mean I'm wrong? I was born of so and so that was born of so and so that was born of so and so. They come straight from Isaac. Not all Israel is Israel, Paul says. That's why they hated him. His own kind's the one that hated him. Really, the Roman didn't hate him. His own people hated him. They're the ones who wanted to stone him and kill him. The Gentiles received his message gladly, pretty much, you know. But when he went in them synagogues, they hated that boy.
That's right.
All right? That's why I said popularity is not a good thing in the message, because usually that means you've compromised somewhere.
There you go.
If you're very unpopular, then you've probably done something right.
Yeah, that's right.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. All right? That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. I just explained that. They could tell in their flesh where they came from. I come from the seed of Joseph and this one and back and back and back and back to Abraham. What was the promise? The promise is what? Us. The promise is that he's going to have a seed of Abraham, which is the faith seed, not a literal man seed. You know, gene, right. Germ, seed, sperm, whatever you're going to count it for. See, they're looking at the flesh. That's where the seed comes from, the flesh.
Right.
But God is a spirit, and they must worship him in spirit and in truth. They missed that point. For this is the word of promise. What this? At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, that's bringing it to here. He's bringing a natural genealogy to show you as a type that Sarah and Abraham begot a son. His name was Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah conceived and had children. Remember who they had? Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
I mean, look, even you say, well, boy, that natural genealogy, but what about Isaac and Rebekah standing there? And she has a set of twins. Jacob goes this way. Esau goes that way, and look what happened.
That's right.
Because Jesus, I mean, the Bible said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Though they both come from the same womb. I think Brother Brown said one time, come from godly parents. So you can't count men's genealogy.
That's right.
Means nothing.
That's right.
But now I'm telling you, even when Jesus was on earth, Paul and all the ones, they had to deal with that natural genealogy, because that's what they lived in the Old Testament. I come from this one, they come from this one, they came from this one. And you know what? It had to be pure. It couldn't be have any flaws in it or anything else. It had to be pure line, or Caiaphas couldn't have been high priest.
Right.
All right, he's interpolating here. Interpolating, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now, what is election?
Foreknowledge.
Not exactly. Not exactly. But you're correct. Never mind. I'm sorry. I thought you said predestination. I'm thinking ahead. You said foreknowledge. That is exactly correct. Because Sorry, I was thinking ahead. All right, here's... Yeah, that's right. Now, what is election? Election is foreknowledge. It's not totally predestination because you got to go to foreknowledge first. That's what I was thinking. Somebody would say predestination. So there's God. Let's don't make the devil bigger than God. There's God, there's the devil. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, according to election, what is election? You got three votes. What is an election? You vote. God voted for you. The devil voted against you. So you're 1-1. You're tied. Who swings the vote? You either vote this way or this way. And it's always 2-1 or 2-1. So by foreknowledge, he knew what you would choose. Therefore, he could elect you to be chosen. Because listen, if you take election like people preaching the message and predestination like they're preaching the message, it's just like I told you. It's this. And that ain't it. It's according to your choice. Everything is according to your choice. Everything. But isn't it true? God wished it all be saved, so there's your vote.
Yes.
Isn't that what the Bible says? God wished that everybody be saved. Every person that come out of a womb, he wants to save them.
Yes.
But he can't.
Yes.
Why can't he? Free moral agency.
Right.
You free moral agency then comes over here on this side or that side. To me, that's very simple about election. But then we look at election, but now look, we look at the story of Jacob and Esau, and which one would you pick? If you were looking at Mary and Martha, which one would you pick? I was looking at that the other day.
Yeah.
One of them looks at Jesus and says, Lord, let me give you an example. Here's a woman sitting down beside Jesus, and they're conversing. And here's Martha or Mary, can't remember, you just put the name in. And here, just working, cleaning the walls, she's fixing the meal.
What
she's
we're supposed to
she's
do.
Doing.
She's doing what we're supposed to do.
That's not what Jesus said.
I know, but I mean.
Well, I'm telling you though, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said she chose the better thing.
Right.
Because remember, she's going by, and finally, I believe she'd have stopped and said, "Hello, I'm sweating over here."
You gonna help me?
Are you gonna help? You gonna get up and help? And Jesus is like, she's picked right. I'm sure she went, I don't understand that guy. Same way with Jacob. Jacob was a shyster. He got that birthright by
stealing it
from his old father that was blind. And he deceived him. And Esau went out and done what he's supposed to do. He was a hunter. He got everything he needed to eat and all that good stuff. But, like I said, this is Paul interpolating, because remember, for those of you that haven't been here in a while, Paul interpolates with parentheses. Because Paul's writing, as seen by one, even our father Isaac, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, if you didn't have this interpolated in there, you wouldn't understand what he's talking about.
Okay.
You see anything in parentheses, Paul is stopping and saying, okay, I'm making a point, but, and I believe the Lord put that in there, Paul did, the Lord put that in there to explain what he's fixing to talk about. For the children being yet not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. Martha's out here working, 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 working. Esau's out there working, 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 working. Jacob was, Brother Brown said Jacob was under his mama's coattail. Probably didn't have a callus in his life. His mama did everything for his little mama boy. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Now, what's he saying? As we look at these scenarios, we would think God would be unrighteous. Because we gonna love old Esau. We love the boy. He does everything. He don't deceive his daddy. He goes out and kills deer and brings in fresh meat. And And Jacob probably is, like I said, Jacob's probably hiding under his mama's coattail. His mama's doing everything for him. So is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Because he knew Jacob's heart. He knew Jacob wanted that birthright, and he knew in Esau's heart he never would want that birthright. Didn't mean nothing to him. Okay? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Remember, God hardened Pharaoh's heart several times in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Now, listen, to make election and foreknowledge stand, God didn't walk in and go, Pharaoh, don't you let them people go.
Right.
He just gave him a scenario. And Pharaoh chose which one to take. Okay, it wasn't that God come in and said, now Pharaoh, you don't need to be doing this. I want you to do something else for me. No, he can't do that. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Because he knows your choice. That helped me more than anything. Because
yes. You
take people like Adolf Hitler and all these different ones.
Yes.
And even when we look, now come to this, folks, and this is what's going to really, this is what will stump you. Come up to the end time, and the beast and the false prophet goes into the lake of fire before they're judged. Before judgment day.
Yeah.
Why? God knows they'll never repent.
Okay.
Knows they'll never repent. They'll go into the lake of fire before the day of judgment. The Bible tells us that. In Revelation. They're thrown into the lake of fire before the white throne judgment. Why? Really, you know what a white throne judgment is? It's for you to judge yourself. They're judging themselves. Jesus Christ is going, hey, you turned me down. And they said, yes, we did. So who's the judging? They're the judgment. Now, these that have left the message and think they're still in the Bible, to me, they're the ones that come up to that day and say, have I not cast out devils? Have I not prophesied? Have I not done this? Have I not done that? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
And that word knew in that is just like Adam knew his wife Eve. So it's an intimate, not a sexual relationship, but an intimate relationship. He said, I never knew you.
Right.
That's the same knew as when Adam knew his wife Eve.
Yeah.
So it's an intimate, that's what he told him. He said, you've done all this, but you never have an intimate. Well, what is an intimate relationship with God? When you get the Holy Ghost, you have an intimate relationship with God.
Yes.
Right?
Was I?
Verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Watch. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou formed or made me thus? People take that wrong. That tells me that when those people go to the white throne judgment, they're not going to ask him, so why'd you make me wrong? They know why they were wrong. They did the wrong. God didn't make them do wrong.
Right.
If he made them do wrong, he's got to give them eternal life,
because
he wouldn't be just.
That's right.
He's got to be a just God, and a just God means justice.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where the word justice comes from. Judge, justice. Okay? Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. God knowing our choice. So that's what I said about Adolf Hitler. God through his foreknowledge knew if he gave Adolf Hitler a million years to repent. Just said, all right, you can live a million years, Adolf Hitler, and he can't force him to do it. He'd never repent.
That's right.
He knew that. So by foreknowledge, he knew that. So by foreknowledge, he knew the beast and the false prophet. And yeah, by foreknowledge, he knows that the people of the white throne judgment what they're going to do.
Right.
But there's going to be some surprises at the white throne judgment.
Sure.
He's going to give eternal life to somebody that don't even want it, that's been good to you.
Amen.
Yeah. Right on?
Right.
I believe that 100%. What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. That's what I'm just telling you. What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Now, he knew before Adolf Hitler was born what he was going to do. So why didn't he just kill him as a baby?
He had to give him a choice.
He couldn't kill him as a baby. He had to give him a choice. Okay? If he'd killed him as a baby, Adolf Hitler would have went to heaven.
Right.
Right?
Right?
All babies go to heaven. So he let him live on because he knew he would come to a place, and then somewhere he had to turn God down. Lord, we use Adolf Hitler because that's, to me, that was the most hideous thing a man could do. Him and that doctor of his, Mengele. Grief. But all that was them same demons that was back in the Old Testament persecuting Israel. They just came into the 1940s, and then that demon's not dead. It's going to go over into the two witnesses in Israel, and they're going to kill them. So, you know, we got to kill all the Jew thing, you know. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Have you ever heard Brother Brown preach on the law of contrast? You got to have something bad to have something good. Well, that's what this is here. He had to have something bad. He had to allow something to be bad so that he can take the good out of it.
Like the Garden of Eden?
Yes, exactly. Just like the Garden of Eden. He took something beautiful, allowed Satan to come in, but he allowed Eve to make a choice. And listen, we beat poor Eve to death. Adam's the one that sold us out. Eve didn't.
Right.
Adam's the one that sold us out.
Yep.
Right, but being that they were one, he couldn't kill one, not the other.
That's right.
Right, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, us, which he had afore foreknowledge prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. He's asking the question, as he saith also in OC, or that would be. Let's look at that. Would be what? The book of Hosea. Hosea. So he's quoting scripture here. Right? So in the book of Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, Gentiles, and her beloved, which was not beloved, the Gentiles. This is talking about the Gentiles coming in. God loved Israel. He still does love Israel. But he had to put her away when she went with another man, another doctrine, another, you know, doctrine of Balaam and all that. He had to put her away because he couldn't take her back. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Because remember, he told them, he said, don't go to Gentiles. He came to his own, and his own received him not.
Right.
He came to a Jewish place, and they turned him down.
Right.
Esau also cries concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel as be the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. As Esau said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been as Gomorrah. Well, that's not Esau, that's Isaiah. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. It's Isaiah. Isaiah said, because this is quoting Isaiah, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been as Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Because remember, Israel was not so much a faith nation. They needed signs and wonders. Jairus, come and touch my daughter. Come and... But what did he see when he saw the centurion, which was a Gentile, said, Lord, no, you don't even have to come into my house. You just speak the word. You have authority, just speak the word. He said, I've not seen any faith in Israel like this. Why? Because Israel was not, well, they didn't have faith. You know what they had? They depended on the Torah. The letter of the word is what they depended on. Right? The Gentiles, that centurion didn't know probably one commandment.
Okay.
He had never probably ever been in a synagogue before.
Yeah.
Right? Never.
Right.
But God honored him because I said, I haven't found no greater faith than Israel. So we'll stop right here because we'll start on this right here. I want to speak on this next Sunday a little bit.
Hey, can I say something? Everybody, please remember her hips get more and more. I'm going to call a doctor tomorrow.
All right.
Sounds like arthritis. She just
couldn't get that. I'm Arthur.